I was coming from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When a stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac. He was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. Say it's a long walk to Nashville, would you like to ride? I sat down in the front seat, turned on the radio. Them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when I asked him for a light. I knew there was something strange about this ride. He said, "Drifter, can you make folks cry when you're playing sign? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings? Boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? If you're big star bound, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride."
Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher and a very special guest today, this free show, by the way, at Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. We'll talk a little bit more about why it's free and why we hope you'll hear a lot more of us in the future. But we are joined today by Danny Cage, owner, operator of the Monster Factory, a major event coming up soon at the factory down there in Paulsboro, New Jersey, the Monster Factory Super Camp. And Danny, we got a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about. We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Let's start right there at the top, the Super Camp happening next weekend in Paulsboro, New Jersey. Tell us a little bit about the camp itself. What was the reasoning behind putting this together? Who all is going to be there?
Awesome, guys. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on. It's basically, we used to have just a couple camps we would do. You know, we've had less in the past. We'd had Rip in, Gerald Briscoe in. You know, we've had Kevin Kelly in. We've had a bunch of camps, and we've always thought, like, we have all these people here. Why don't we make this, like, a big event for a couple days, put a show in the middle of it, you know, be here. And we have a huge facility, have people camp here, save money on hotels. The airport's 20 minutes from us. We have plenty of kids. We can actually pick people up from the airport so they don't have to rent cars. And it's very tough, especially nowadays coming up in the business because you have so many things going on. There's so many different opportunities, but it's always, the paydays aren't always big and, you have to invest so much money in yourself. So we said, well, let's make it so people have no excuses. All they have to do is pay for the camp, you know, pay for the food and, we'll find a way to get them here. Lodge them here, and basically it's not one of those camps where you have to leave and break everything down, put everything back up the next day, leave because, you know, they're gonna have a banquet there or they're gonna do a meeting there. Basically it's 11 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, 9 in the morning till midnight, 9 in the morning till midnight. Like, if you love pro wrestling, this is for you. If you're afraid of hard work, if you're afraid to actually learn stuff, then don't bother showing up. It's right now, I'll say the tentative is 80 to 90 people will be there. I say 80 to 90 because there will be about 10 or 15 people that, you know, they reality kicks in and they get the cold feet and they won't do it, you know. But we are going to have a packed house. We have 2 18-by-18-foot rings. We have 4,000 square feet amateur mats. We have the weight room, full use of the facility. It's going to be kick ass. We have so many different people coming in. I just can't wait. You know, not to mention all of our coaches will be there. You know, Punisher Martinez will be there. QT Marshall will be there. Bill Wiles will be there. Blumini will be there. I'll be there. But we also have, of course, Les Thatcher there. We have Matt Wichlinski, who is the former strength and conditioning coach at NXT. We have Joel Gertner, Bob Evans, Rudy Boy Gonzalez is making a trip from Texas. I mean, this is, if I'm forgetting anybody, it's just because the list is so big. Also, Bull James will be there. He's going to take the trip in. And you never know who else is going to show up because SummerSlam is in New York that weekend. So you never know who's going to come by.
by chance sounding like a cheap promo for a pay-per-view, this has been a couple years in the making. I know because Danny and I think first talked about this. I don't know it's first when his idea came to him, but he and I first talked about this. It's been 2 years ago, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, we're going to not only just do it once a year, we're going to do it like 2 to 3 times a year and just keep on rotating people in, because we have another one coming up, a 2-day camp, October 28th and 29th. And so far we have Rip Rogers signed on, and I got a couple other people in the work. So it's going to be sick. It's going to be awesome.
You know what, Les, let me ask you the question, and I'll turn to you first and ask you about your experiences at the Monster Factory, because you've done a couple of camps there now and you're getting ready to come in again. When you go to the Monster Factory as compared to some of the other places that you've traveled over the past 20-some-odd years conducting seminars and weekend training camps, what are the kind of things that stand out to you, and what makes the Monster Factory special as a guy who comes in to run these camps?
First of all, and most of all, energy. I've said this on other programs. I've said it here. One of the things that going to Paulsboro for me is the energy that I feel in the facility from the guys. It reminds me a lot of what HWA was back in 2000, 15, 16 years ago. A lot of guys, there's a competitive thing, but it's not like a vicious competitive thing. It's just everybody steps up their game. The people that are here with a positive attitude, with the reason they want to improve, and I think makes the coaches step up too. Of course, like Danny was talking about, the great facility, the amateur mats, the ring, the weight room. Like I say, it just comes back that everybody takes a positive stance, and I think that's important, It's just, I'm looking forward to next weekend, but if I live close enough, hell, I'd be there every weekend, because it's just, again, it reminds me of the company that I had 16 years ago.
Awesome.
That was just going to go there next, Danny. When you hear something like that, how do you feel? What does it make you feel?
Very proud. And it also, like, I use it as a thing to motivate the kids, because, when I started this in 2011, there were so many people saying, oh, you're a joke, what business are you running this, blah, 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 blah. So, like, in my mind, I was like, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get some of the best people. Because when I broke in, like, we never had anything like this. We were very closed off. We never went anywhere. They told us not to go anywhere. They told people, they wouldn't have people in. So, like, when I got it, I was just like, I want to run this. Like, I would... I envisioned this, and me and the other coaches talked about it. Like, we made this the way we always wanted to wrestle in school when we were coming up. So we just started bringing in everybody, and then it got contagious where, word of mouth, and everybody wants to help out everybody. And, the way pro wrestling should be, we do stuff with, we help out Ring of Honor, we have a good relationship with people from TNA, with WWE, which benefits the kids tremendously. Like, I tell our kids, like, I don't want you here. Like, I want you guys signed and gone. So many people are like, oh, well, you're running these kids' lives. I'm like, well, no, I'm their coach. So what I say should go. If you look at what they do in Japan, you can't do any, if you're a young boy over there and you're training over there, like, you don't do anything without the permission. So we kind of keep it the same thing, just not as a, restrictive in some senses. So, to hear Les say stuff like that, I tell the kids, like, 5 years ago, nobody was saying that. 5 years ago, no one knew who the hell I was. So you just keep plugging away. You can't think of everything is going to be happening overnight. But nowadays, when they see everybody getting signed, certain people getting signed that have only been in the business a year or two, they think like, oh, well, I didn't get signed, my career's over, what am I going to do? And they push the panic button instead of just staying the course and being patient.
Let me jump in here. There's three guys on a mic. Anyway, to give an example, Vic, of the energy and of the attitude, last year we were having short little matches. And Nick, God love him. How long has Nick been with you, Danny?
It's almost like 2.5 years now.
Yeah, and here's a guy who should be on somebody's major roster. I mean, he's got the size,
absolutely.
He's got the ability. My God, he's got the amateur background. But the point I was going to make, Vic, is, you know, you have an odd number of people, and some of these kids didn't have a lot of experience. And I'd say, well, I need somebody to work with this guy. And Nick kept coming up, and I said, Nick, you don't have to. Les, I need the ring time. Now, here's a guy who was experienced, but he said, I want to, and he said, I need to keep, you know, learning more about calling things in the ring. And he kept stepping up to work with guys who honestly weren't, you know, experienced enough to lace his boots at that point in time. But that's the kind of energy that the Monster Factory promotes. It's the kind of energy that I feel there. And it, you know, when he's saying 11 to 11, you know what? The old 75-year-old man's going to hang there with those kids because I love it. Hell, if we're going to do something at 3 a.m., I'm going to be there for that too. And I think that's the part that misses in so many places. I do things all around the country. There's guys walking through this, you know, they're hobbyists.
Yep.
And I know Danny has those guys too. If there's some way to filter the guys who really want it and the guys who are just playing at it, I'd be the first to do that. But I think there's more of that positive energy at the Monster Factory than virtually any place that I've been in recent times.
Dan, you talked about 5 years ago how nobody knew about you or the Monster Factory anymore, and I'm wondering if there was a moment you can put your finger on where there was a little bit of a turning point where momentum started to shift in the other direction, and you felt like you were on the path that you're on right now, where you're conducting all these camps, you have so many people coming in from all over the country, all over the world, in fact, and so many good things happening down there in Paulsboro.
I know exactly what it was. It was when I one of the guys who's helped me out tremendously is Jerry Briscoe. We struck up a friendship, basically because of Twitter. We started, talking on Twitter because he was an amateur guy and I was an amateur guy, and we started messaging each other and talking about different stuff. And I just said, I think it was, the beginning of 2012. I just said, what's it take to get you in here? And he sent me his cell phone and we talked, and he goes, well, you know, Jerry's like, well, what do you want me in there for? What's it going to be? And is it even worth my trip? And then I told him, and I was like, you got to see what this place was like. You got to see it. And he walked in and he's like, pulled me to the side. He's like, well, now I know you ain't a liar. It's worth it. And, you know, it's been one of those things where, you know, I've depended on him tremendously. He's helped me out tremendously and opened up so many doors for us, because nobody's going to believe it until they see it and they see what's going on. Like, you can watch on the videos, but that could be produced stuff. But the videos and everything I put out there, like, we don't, you know, go, all right, guys, I'm going to be running the film now, so really put on that, you know, let's really work. No, we just, most of the time they don't even know, because I tape everything, when we're taping, what we're doing, and I pretty much leave everything unfiltered, and it works out best because it's real, and people in the business have, like, that BS filter where they can tell if something's fake, you know, orchestrated, or not legit and just going through the motions, and we're none of that. We're go all the time, and I think the people in the business, in the know, appreciate that, because it's different than it was back in the day where you just got in a ring and you got broken in by helping set up a ring and occasionally getting matches. You can't do that nowadays, because, like, these guys, you know, not to knock the older generation of wrestlers, but these wrestlers today are super athletes. This is, like, more demand than anything, not to mention just the match schedule, but the media game and the travel and everything like that. It's like nothing else before. So I think the turning point was definitely Gerald coming in and seeing what we were like, which then opened the door to Les, then to, you know, Rip and everything like that. And granted, you know, they might have came in regardless, but if they would have came in and saw that it was crap, you know, they might not have come back or talked so highly and helped out by opening other doors to other places, including Ring of Honor, WWE, TNA, and all that stuff.
I've never heard anybody do a Jerry Briscoe imitation before, but damn, you're good at it.
I get those phone calls all the time, and they're the best.
Danny, I want to ask you about the network, because you're doing a lot of your stuff. You know, you talk about filming everything all the time, and that's one of the things that the Monster Factory is doing as well with the whole network thing. What, how exactly does that work? What is on the service, and how can people get a hold of that too?
Well, basically, I came up with that because I look at everything. I used to work for Verizon. I used to basically install fiber optics, and the whole reason the fiber optic came about was they weren't trying to get in the cable game, like cable TV. They were getting in the streaming game, because the future is going to be everybody streaming everything. Netflix, Hulu, everything is going to be streamed, and people pretty much won't even really have cable anymore to really do anything. So I looked at it and I go, well, I really don't want to, I mean, a TV show would be nice, but the future is streaming. Like, I don't want to invest in 8-tracks if I know CDs are coming out in a couple years. So I was like, well, let me get my own network going. And I contacted a place that does it. And, it's fairly simple, and you can stream it anywhere, like on Roku and Chromecast. You can use your PlayStation, your Xbox. You could just use an Apple TV. You could just watch it on your laptop, your phone, tablet. And, I wanted to make it different, because I was looking at a lot of the other wrestling places that do stuff like this. And I think that one of the coolest things about us are, not only do we have a wrestling federation and all these stars, but I think what's great is the training behind it, because it's almost like the NFL Network, because what's cool about the NFL Network, sure, you have the games, but you also have the insight. You can watch them train, interviews, you know, reality TV. I mean, there's just so much stuff on it, hundreds and hundreds of hours of stuff. And it's only $4.99 a month. And the seminars alone that we have on there are worth that, because you can watch some with Les, some with Bull, Abyss, Gerald Briscoe, Rip Rogers, all these different seminars that people could learn to who can't maybe make that trip to come to a seminar. Now they can see and to kind of get, like, the insight. Or, you know, for the people that are on the fence about training, you know, maybe this is like, oh, man, this is awesome. I had no idea this is what went into wrestling. I love it. And the fan, it makes it appreciated even more, because they see, wait a minute, I thought they just went in a ring with a script, and that's what went into wrestling. I had no idea it was this hard of work. Man, I appreciate these guys that much more. So I think that's what helps out, too. And I, you know, when people go, oh, you're exposing the business, I go, yeah, I am, to new fans and new people. That's what it's about. That's what will grow our market. I don't want it just to be the people that love wrestling. I want to get more and more people into it. You know, that would be, almost be like Sons of Anarchy. It should just be for bikers. Only bikers should watch that show. No, everybody should watch that show. It's a great show. Because I know Les is a huge Sons of Anarchy guy.
Yeah, yeah, I am. Well, you know, that's the thing. Everybody talks about exposing about, you know, Vince did that years ago, so nobody can lay the blame at your feet or my feet either. But I think the point, you know, the one positive thing for me that came out of that is that you can openly let people know how difficult it is. This business is unto itself. I don't give a damn. You can play pro football, you could be an MMA fighter, you can be a skateboard champion, but that doesn't mean you can do this. I I'm sure Danny's done the same thing. I've had guys come in with no athletic background to turn into very proficient professional wrestlers. But the point is, if people understand how difficult it is to do what we do, maybe they'll show a little more respect. Because, and I'm not going to get into names here, but the major shows that are on television don't do anything to gander any respect for the industry as a whole, quite frankly. And I think it's things like this that are going to make people understand the difficulty it is to become a proficient professional wrestler.
Yeah, and everybody respects like the grind and hard work, no matter what it is. It could be anything, and people just love that. Like, I'm not a car guy. I don't like cars. Like, I know that you put oil and gas in it, and it goes. Like, I don't care about it. But when I see a car show, and they're restoring something, and the hard work that's going into it, and the knowledge that I get enthralled, and I actually start to care about it. Now, it's not going to, you know, I'm not going to start really, really getting into cars, but once I watch that show, it sucks me in. So next time down the road, if I see somebody working on something, like, man, that son of a bitch works hard. Like, I respect that. That's awesome. And I might tell somebody else, but it's not my thing. But you never know what door is going to get opened by that and who's going to see what. Too many people worry about, like, how many people watch. I just want to know who watches, because I know a lot of people watch our stuff, and I've talked to people from different companies. I'd rather have 12 to 15 very, very important people watching our, as opposed to 1,000 people. You know, I look for impact and quality, not just quantity. And I think that's what our network's trying to do. And eventually it'll catch on and get even more and more people. But we'll see how it goes. It's just, you know, I'm only one man. You know, I don't have any employees. It's just pretty much me who does everything. I do all the editing, all the uploading. I hand somebody a camera. I take it home. I edit it, put it together. I do all our social media. So, like, my time is very spread out over everything. So, you know, and luckily I got the coaches that help out, and different people will step up in certain things. But, man, if I just had a bunch of money, man, I could hire a staff. It would be so on. I would kill. I would kill.
You know, that what Danny mentions about the people that watch, there's been over the years that I've done these camps, you know, sometimes somebody that has a podcast that is actually a wrestling fan will come and sit in. And the feedback I get at the end of that day or the end of that weekend is, oh, my God, I had no idea what actually went into this. So there are people that sit around and you know, go woo, woo, woo over somebody's big bump or something, but they really don't understand what they're watching. It's completely a surface thing, you know. It's kind of like riding a roller coaster, and you get that big rush when that coaster goes down that big hill.
Yep.
But if you actually knew what goes into making that roller coaster work, you might appreciate it a little more. And I think that's the value of the Monster Factory network, I believe.
Yeah, what's cool is, like, I open these camps up, like, everybody be like, I have no experience. I go, good, then come on in. Like this will, why would you want to join a wrestling school, pay the $3,500 if you didn't know this is what you want to do? Pay the $150, spend 3 days, and maybe this will make you take that leap easier, or realize, holy crap, this was nothing I thought. There's no way I can do this. I don't even like it now. Good. Now you just saved yourself some money. And plus, like I said, it opens it up to the people who maybe were just curious about it, and now they're turning into either super fans or pro wrestlers themselves. And it just, all it does is, you know, word of mouth is one of the best advertisements there is, especially today.
Let me ask a question to both of you, and I'll turn to Les to give his thoughts on it first. But with respect to something I heard, actually maybe about an hour before we got on the phone here today, because I'm getting caught up on some of my audio at WrestlingObserver.com, and I was listening to Wrestling Observer Radio with Brian and Dave from, I think it was Wednesday, and they didn't bring this up on their own, but someone asked a question from the mailbag about WWE potentially hiring more gymnasts for the women's division. Basically, you know, you've been watching the Olympics and the conditioning and things of that nature, and citing Charlotte and Alexa Bliss's gymnastic backgrounds, has WWE ever considered recruiting female gymnasts? And so basically the discussion from there went towards, you know, Dave also steered it towards just, you know, whether or not gymnasts in general for men as well would be worth scouting if you're WWE these days. And the thought more or less was the level of athleticism is such, and the level of expectation of your athleticism is such in 2016 that gymnasts may not be the worst idea. Previously, it would have been frowned upon because you would have thought that the male gymnasts were too small. But when you're doing things like the Cruiserweight Classic, it potentially opens that up. And maybe gymnasts are, from that athletic standpoint, that conditioning standpoint, that training standpoint, perhaps maybe more prepared than anybody athletically other than amateur wrestlers to at least give this a shot and see whether or not this is something that they can do. And so, Les, I just figured I'd throw that to you first and ask your opinion on it.
Well, yeah, you know, the bottom line here, it's a numbers game. You know, as we briefly talked about before we started recording, this is not about, you know, I've got 45, 6'7", 300-pound muscular guys, so I've got a wrestling roster. You may have nobody, and they can come from any particular background, you know. But, yeah, if they you know, the one thing about, well, you know, I'm going to use something to, unrelated to wrestling, actually, but like Dancing with the Stars, there have been, that contest had been won by professional athletes on several occasions, pro football players. The main reason, my estimation anyway, is that they understand how to focus. You know, how to lock in on something, and they have that competitive background, a competitive spirit to try to beat it, even if they're not good at it initially. So, yes, someone with a great athletic background is a plus, which doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to turn into a great wrestler because, again, what we do is so foreign to anything else. But, yeah, I don't see a problem with that, But I think our business has turned a little too close to acrobatics as it is. And for me, the first thing I would do with somebody like that is start in on the sound basics and fundamentals of the business and then build to that. But yes, I see a value in pursuing those people. But I think Danny would tell you the same thing. He's probably had good athletes from other walks of, you know, other athletic backgrounds come in that left frustrated and unable to actually grasp what it takes to become a professional wrestler.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. I tell everybody, like, I love listening to our different kids. We've had this a couple years ago pitching because they signed, like, a former athlete and not them, and I'm like, and he's like, you know, I've been doing this for a couple of years. I'm like, listen, this guy has been doing it for 18 years, wrestling amateur, wrestling college. I was like, so you're going to blame him because he went to the Olympics and couldn't go wrestle the Indies? I was like, he was working his ass off while you were doing nothing. So, if you can take an athlete and turn that passion now from, look how hard they work just for gymnastics. If you can turn that passion towards pro wrestling, I'm sure they're going to work just as hard. Plus, you know, mentally they're tougher. They're used to being put through the ringer. They're not going to be broken, and they're dependable. They've proved it over the years. So I love it. But at the same time, there are the idiot athletes. But you know, it doesn't mean all you have to do is grab these athletes and everything will work out. Like I said, it's a numbers game. But if you can get those gems and polish them up, it's so much better. Like, you know, training people like Billy Damian and Nick Camarado, Matt Riddle, who had all the amateur background, it's unbelievable. But at the same time, you know, we get somebody like Cody Vance, who, you know, all he ever did was play hockey occasionally in Detroit. But he's a workhorse. It's just one of those things where, hey, you can't just do that. Cause if I would have just said, I'm just taking former star athletes, we could have lost someone like him. We could have lost Steve Cutler, who's now at NXT. So I agree completely. I think that is the way to go. And they're workhorses. They're determined, and this is like their livelihood is athletics and being tough. And I would be all over that myself. Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that, to give you a negative on that, Vic, not necessarily a negative, but why sometimes that doesn't pan out. Years ago, I had a guy who had varsity letters in SEC soccer, right, come to me, wanted to pursue wrestling. Okay, fine. He signed up and he came on board. 3 months, 3.5 months later, he threw his hands in the air and he said, he was frustrated. He wasn't catching on. He saw guys with less athletic backgrounds, growing and learning and improving, and he just, whatever reason, couldn't get it. I said to him, and Danny just mentioned about somebody putting in 18 years at this or that, I said, you're like 22 years old. How many years you played soccer before you got to University of Kentucky, right? And so don't think 3 months, Nigel McGuinness spent how long before, and when he first came in the door. Here's a guy who had no athletic background but became one of the most proficient, technically sound professional wrestlers in the last 15, 20 years, for Christ's sake. But, the point was he put his nose to the grindstone and kept at it. So, that's the thing, too. I think that, and Danny will agree, that if you are a high-level athlete in some other pursuit, that doesn't necessarily sign you up to be the next great performer in professional wrestling. It only gives you a foundation, and it should give you a mindset to go in and push toward this, but it doesn't always happen.
Absolutely.
I'd be remiss if I didn't spend a little time during our time together today, Danny, to ask you about the Cruiserweight Classic, which has got lots of people talking, watching it on the WWE Network, and I want to get your thoughts on the series, if you've been keeping up with it, and if you saw this current week's episode with Cedric Alexander, and Kota Ibushi and Tajiri and Grand Metalik. But before I do any of that, I do want to ask you about how the Monster Factory's own Anthony Bennett found his way into the tournament.
Well, that's because of Jerry Briscoe. Jerry made a promise to Anthony Bennett, and this is why I love Jerry so much. When Jerry first came in 2012, Bennett was just starting out. He was 130 pounds, amateur wrestler, 19 years old, and he saw Anthony looking down about stuff and saying, you'll never have a chance, and he told him, he said that, you know, there might be a cruiserweight division coming up, and Triple H has talked about it and doing something with the network and this and that. And if he ever does, you have my word that I will put you in for it. And he did this, that. He followed through with his word. And, you know, Jerry called me up and asked my permission. And I said, go ahead, do it. And it all worked out for him, and I'm very happy. But, you know, I talked to William Regal about it and a bunch of other people, and Anthony's thing now is he has to get more experience, so I started getting him more bookings. I contacted Maryland Championship Wrestling and a couple other places, and we're going to get him more bookings, more experience. That's another thing, like, a lot of schools don't do. They don't go out and try to get the guys bookings, or they don't even care where they go. I have our guys check for all the bookings with me, and I try to get them as many bookings as possible, and even cut them breaks on tuition and stuff if it means to go to a Ring of Honor camp or something like that. I'll work with them because I think the more you learn, the better. So, yeah, that's why that worked out, and I'm very proud of Anthony, and we'll see where it leads to. Hopefully he gets some more work there and opens the doors for more of our other cruiserweights, because we've had a supersonic division. That's what we call our cruiserweight division, for years now, and you know, we got people like Mikey Webb, Leon St. Giovanni, you know, we have so many different people, Nick Westgate, that do cruiserweight stuff. So hopefully you know, I get through to WWE and all you guys can get used down there, and they, you know, and they're gonna put it on Monday Night Raw now, you know, the cruiserweight division. So it's awesome. It's a win-win for everybody.
You tell that, Anthony, I need a new pair of shades. The battery burned out on my damn glasses.
He'll have them. They're $10, though, Laffy. He's a star now.
Wow. You got big time in a hurry.
Oh, it's great.
You mentioned he was an amateur wrestler. What else can you tell us about Anthony Bennett, and how long has he been with you?
He's been with us for about 3 years now. He wrestled in Paulsboro. He's a good kid, but, you know, at times he's a dumb kid. You know, he does dumb kid stuff. He doesn't realize how good he could be, how good he is, and how important this is. Sometimes he just goes through the motions, and I call him out on it, and he's been disciplined. We have a disciplined, you know, we don't just, oh, don't do this. You know, we suspend people. We throw people out. We've lost some students. I've thrown people out, suspended them. He's done some kid stuff, but again, he's just a kid. But then I also tell the guys, you know, because that's what everyone tells me, oh, he's just a kid. And I go, yeah, well, that works for a little bit. But, you know, I told everybody this comparison. If you're watching a college athlete who's possibly going to be drafted in the first, second, third, or drafted at all, and they do something really stupid to affect the money they could make down the road, nobody goes, oh, he's just a kid. They go, what an idiot. So that's what I tell these kids, like, you all have a $1 million opportunity in your hands. Don't screw it up. Don't be an idiot. You know, be serious about it. But he's a workhorse, man, and, he, you know, I think this helped him tremendously, because he's now seeing there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because for a couple of years he was thinking there was nothing for him, because he always wanted to do WWE. And, you know, at 160 pounds, he was thinking there's no chance of me doing anything. But I think this helped out a lot of people and helped them see there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, like I said, hard work trumps all. And if Jerry kept coming back and Anthony wasn't improving and not putting on size and had a different look and this and that, you know, he wouldn't have put him in. And he's a good kid. He's one of my favorites. But at the same time, he's one of the guys that pisses me off the most. So we have a love-hate relationship at times.
You know, that's one of the things, too, that makes me like going to the Monster Factory, too, Vic, is Cage is a young hard ass like I'm an old hard ass. But you know what? That's B.J. Whitmer and I had this conversation a few weeks ago, and we're talking about a guy who had trained with us and said, the old man killed my love for the business. And BJ, you know, he's saying this to BJ, and BJ said, he said, you never loved the business. He said, to start with, the old man was hard on us because this is a hard fucking business. You know?
Yeah.
It's not a walk in the park. And if you can't, you know, for me, if I had lost my love for the business when somebody yelled at me, I'd have lost it 56 years ago, for Christ's sake. I mean, we wouldn't be having
right.
this conversation. You know, it's, coaches are the people that, if you don't, I think a lot of kids, Danny, don't understand that when I tell you, you know, when you or me tell somebody what they've done wrong, we're doing them the biggest favor. We're better friends than the people who are blowing smoke up their butts and telling them how
great
they are.
Oh, yeah. You don't know how many times I got to hear from, I've heard it from somebody, I won't mention his name, but he went somewhere else, and he's like, well, you know, you always told me what I was doing wrong and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I went there and they told me how great I am doing. And I'm like, yeah, and now you look like crap. And now you're out of shape. And when you were with me, you were in shape, shredded, looking good, and you could go. So it is what it is. I'm not here to, you know, I worked for a corporation for 17 years, a major corporation, and I was making six figures. And I saw what it was like, and then I see what athletics are like. So I just adapted that mentality and put these kids, like, I would rather just hang out all day with these kids. And just, we could bullcrap, wrestle, roll around, I could be their friends. But at the end of the day, I'm not doing them a service, I'm doing them a disservice. And it's going to make us look like idiots when, and if they do get a chance, and they're not prepared. You know, Steve Cutler is the example I use, but, like, he listened to everything I said, did everything I said, and when he got there, he goes, now I know exactly why you said and did everything you did, because it's exactly like this. Same when Matt Riddle went down there for his tryout, Nick Camarado, Luis, all these people, like, oh, my God, it's just like you said, and it's exactly, you're preparing us for it. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty damn good at this stuff. Like, if you guys would just have faith. That's the biggest thing, you know. Granted, I want to be their friends, but, like, I'm not their friends when I'm there. Like, I am their trainer, their coach. I am, you know, trying to get them prepared. So once they go out there, you know, it's hard to tell somebody they suck or they screwed something up or go over something over and over again. But if I didn't care, I would just go, no, that was awesome. Keep it up, you know. That's what people forget. And I think a lot of times too many people hear too many things from people like, oh, you're awesome, you're great. And that's all they hear. And that's all they keep in their mind. So once you're berating them or saying like, listen, man, you got to get on this, you got to, well, such and such who's been in the business such and such years said I'm awesome, so that's all I got to listen to. You know, that's another thing. Too many people pick and choose advice and find their advice when they should just really just listen to the coach, because that's my job, is to get them ready. I had a discussion with somebody, sorry to go off, but I had a discussion with someone that they're like, it's not your job to get them signed. And I go, well, that's the difference between me and you, because this guy was a trainer. I was like, in my mind, it is my job to get them signed. I want to get them signed. I want to prepare them to get them signed. I don't want to just teach them to be a professional wrestler. I wanted to teach them everything so they have a career in it.
So down the road, they're like, my life is better because of what I listen to from Danny Kaye to the people at the Monster Factory. That's what I want. I want people with careers, a legacy. I don't want, oh, I just did it and I got in for 30 days and now I got a bed back and blah, blah, blah. And, man, that was awesome. No, I want people with careers. That's what I want to
do. Yeah, you know, that's the big difference. What you just said is what I said years ago when I first started training people. You know, I said, this is not about getting somebody ready to wrestle on some little show in front of 100 people here. This is about, well, of course, when I started training guys, you know, there was the Japanese promotions. There was ECW, WCW, WWF, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't, I don't want to see you here in 10 years. I want you to go somewhere. That's because that's when I've accomplished something. You know, this is not, and sadly enough, Vic, Danny will agree with me here. There are independent promotions all over the place that have guys who are half-ass trainers who all they're doing is getting warm bodies ready to be on their shows. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with these same type of kids, and they'll say, yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, when I was in Georgia two weeks ago, a young man, and I felt so bad for him, big kid. Well, yeah, I've been doing this. Well, you know, he was honest. He was embarrassed to say, I started as a backyarder. I said, well, okay, that's not a problem. You're here. George South and I are here, and we're not going to teach you a backyard. But the point was, this kid had been working shows, and he wasn't ready to work shows. I mean, and I told him when we had the lunch break on Saturday, I said, look, this is not meant to insult you. This is meant to tell you where you're at and where you, if you want to go to the someplace, what you need to do. If this were HWA, you would have yet to have had your first match. You are not ready for your first match. Yet some friggin' idiot was putting this kid out there in front of fans and lying to him and telling him, yeah, you're a professional wrestler. That's, you know, when I first started training, it used to, well, when Harley and Steamboat and I first started doing these traveling camps, you know, it was like, Harley say, did he say 6 minutes or 6 years? And I said, I think he meant 6 minutes, but at first you kind of get upset with the kids. But now it's the fucking idiot people that call themselves trainers that are sticking these kids out there because they're a warm body. Those are the people that piss me off.
Well, I think also, like, that's why I have all our kids check with us for bookings and stuff like that, because how many shows you can go to. And, you know, it's not just the kids that do it. It's the veterans that do it because, you know, let's just throw in, you know, such and such former WWE star at blah, 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 and you look at the poster and there's the former WWE star, but then everybody else on it, you know, is not trained properly, has T-shirts on, everything like that. Well, now they just validated that federation because that WWE, former WWE star or TNA star or Ring of Honor star or whoever went there and wrestled there. So, like, I don't think, like, you can only just blame the booker or the promoter. It's also some of the veterans that say, oh, just go out and get all the bookings you can. Well, no, because now you're just validating crap.
Let me tell you a story about that, and I won't name the guy because I've known him for years before he became a big WWE or WWF, actually, superstar.
Yeah.
I knew him when he was actually a worker. But anyway, this a couple places I had been, this is a number of years ago, this some kid would say, well, so-and-so told me that I was ready. This is when I'm telling the kid, well, you need to do this, and you're doing this wrong. And so then I ran into so-and-so at a convention. I said, you realize how hard you're making it for me to work with these kids and train?
I know who you're talking about. I won't name it, but I know who you're talking about.
And I said to him, I said, look, I said, I understand you're getting a good buck to go in here and do your shtick, okay? And I said, chances are these kids are coming to the back and asking you, Mr. So-and-so, did you see my match? And you probably didn't even see it. But you want that promoter to book you again, so you're not going to rock the boat. So you're going to tell, yeah, kid, you're ready. So you know what? Just tell the kid you didn't see the friggin' match, you know, because you're just putting more pressure on us. Because now this kid thinks, well, so-and-so told me I'm ready. So, yeah. So part of it is my generation's fault as well. I agree 100%.
Yeah, because I get it all the time because I tell our kids to do these camps and do this and do that.
and then they'll work a show, and they come to me, and they go, such and such said this about me, and said this about me, and said this about me. And I'm like, okay. And I know sell it because, like, I know exactly the game. I know what why he told you all that, because if they go, did you like when such and such came in, guys? Well, no, he ripped me a new asshole, and he said I need to train some more. But if he came in and said, you're the greatest wrestler I've ever seen, man, you got to get out there. You got to be seen. People got to know what you're all about. Well, yeah, I'm going to tell him this was awesome. Bring this guy back. So that's why I like when certain people tell me things, I'm like, yeah, I know why he said that. I know that guy. I know why he told you that.
Well, you know, I think they need to understand, too, that people with your mindset or my mindset, the point is, if we're on your ass, that means we see potential in you.
Right.
If we're not, if we're ignoring you, that's when you need to worry. Because,
yeah.
You know, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, and when Rip was in, he said it too. He was, because I just played the video for the kids. I said, you guys need to watch this some more and listen to some of the stuff that we're saying here. Because and Rip said that exactly. He goes, if Danny's on you, it's because he wants you to do better and he sees something in you. If he's not, if he doesn't bother with you, be worried. That's when you worry. And,
yeah.
You know, you know, like I say, like, real recognizes real. As soon as we see somebody and they're not going to listen and they're not going to do anything, I'm done with it. You know, I'm just like, okay, that's it, whatever. Go over there and play.
And if people think you're hard on them or I'm hard on them, they've never dealt with Rip Rogers before.
Yeah.
he told me earlier this year about doing, he was going to do it. He said, I think I'll open up this time. I said, when was it you never opened up, Rip? That's
right. He's the best.
He is. He is a hell of a guy.
Danny, I want to ask you again about the Cruiserweight Classic, because we talked about Anthony Bennett, but have you been keeping up with the show in general? And just your thoughts on the way WWE, on the network at least, is presenting the Cruiserweights and this opportunity that is looming on Monday Night Raw.
I haven't been watching all of it. You know me, man. I'm constantly busy. I've had it on in the background a couple times. I really like it. I think it's great because they took a blend of everything. You know, you don't just see the high-flying. You see the technical. You know, they got people from Japan and Philly and you know, everywhere. And I think that's what's really cool about it. Plus, the announcers, I mean, it's so great to hear, like, passion in their voice. And it's not just boob jokes or stuff like that. It's just, like, genuine passion for the business. So, like, that's what I really like, too. Because, like I said, I have it on in the background. So when I hear it and I hear it in their voice, I have to almost turn around and catch it every once in a while because, like, you can hear it. It's not just they're plugging something, you know. Plus, you know, I got to give them props because they gave the Monster Factory a shout-out a couple times. So they're my favorite announcers ever.
But, you know, that. Yeah, you're right. That's, you know, Ranallo, a mutual friend of ours that lives in Vancouver, sent me a tape of him years ago. And said, this kid wants to be a wrestling commentator. Will you critique this VHS tape? And I did and sent it back. The funny thing was, I'd forgotten about it. And a few years ago when he was doing the, what was it on Showtime, the MMA show. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was on with Alvarez, and he said, we're going to have Miro Ronaldo on. And so after the break, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to come up with something intelligent to say about MMA, right? So we come back, and Brian introduces him. And before we go in, he said, and, you know, I want to thank Les, you know, for giving me, helping give me a leg up in this. And I'm sitting here with my mouth hanging. What the hell's he talking about? And that's what it was. Here's a guy. Yeah, so here's a guy who, now we're talking about taking time to get somewhere. This was back, God, I'm going to say 95, maybe. 94,
awesome.
95. Yeah. So he had been pecking away at this with his nose to the grindstone. And how many years has it taken him to get to where he's at now?
Yeah, that's like with Ian Riccaboni, who's over at Ring of Honor now. He did stuff for Philly's Nation, and we met by him coming in to do a thing for Philly's Nation at the Monster Factory with Blue Meanie.
was before Blue Meanie was even a coach here. He contacted Blue Meanie to do something. Meanie knew me, contacted me. So we did a commercial, like a little skit thing for Phillies Nation. And Ian asked me if he could come in. He always wanted to do pro wrestling stuff. Huge pro wrestling fan. If he could do some announcing stuff. And I always tell this because it's hilarious. Because he's like, so how'd I do? And I was like, it was awful. Like, you suck. And he's like, what? I go, no, I'm just kidding. You're awesome. Come back next week. And, you know, that's how it got the ball rolling. And now he's, you know, doing stuff for Ring of Honor right now. Getting, first it was announcing just women of Honor. And then it was doing commentary. And now he got to do commentary with Kevin Cowley on a pay-per-view. So I think it's like that progression of hustling. You know, he was flying himself out there. He was doing the stuff that you should be doing, plus the homework. Asking advice and listening, and it's awesome how this business works out when you just do the right things.
Yeah, you know, we were talking before we started recording, and we can't mention the name or the company, but a guy we were talking about who gave up a very lucrative job and put his nose to the grindstone to learn our business, and a couple years ago. He was saying to me, my gosh, you know, he said, I'm struggling to pay my bills and how long should I stick with this? And I said, well, that comes from you. How, you know, not from me. There's no way to say that, but he hung on. And now this guy is going to get a break to work with some seasoned veterans and, you know, on a high profile show here in the next few weeks. And, That again, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And you know, that's yep. The other thing too, Danny. I think that young kids don't understand. When I broke in this business 56 years ago, they told us then that you're a rookie in this business for the first 4 or 5 years. This one, we were working 3, 4, 5, 6 nights a freaking week. And these
right.
kids have got to understand that if you're working once a month or twice a month or even once a week, then what does that extend your, you know, your learning curve? It extends
right.
it. So this is not, well, you know, I've been doing this 15 minutes. Why haven't I been signed by a major company? It takes
right.
time.
And that's what they look for. They want that. They want to see that track record. You know, they want to see, all right, did he do this, this, and this? Because anybody can do everything they're supposed to do for a couple months. Do that for a couple of years, and now you're a risk worth taking. You're an investment that people want to make. You know,
I'm going to have a kid get in touch with you that was in Georgia 2 weeks ago when I was there. His name is Cyrus. When I first worked with him, it was down in Blue Ridge, Georgia, for my friend Woody. This kid was like 360 pounds, and you know, when I call the 555, I'll tell these guys, if you can't leapfrog, shoot to the clothesline. And
no.
So I figured, okay, this kid's going to shoot the clothesline. He did the leapfrog. He got all of them in. And they weren't pretty, but he got them all in. And I thought, wow, you know, that impressed me and left an impression. And so now the next year I went down there, this kid had dropped 70 pounds and was even
nice.
More agile. Yeah. So now I hadn't seen him in a while. He worked on the show in Cornelia, Georgia, 2 weeks ago. We sat down and talked. Now, he's put some of this weight back on, but he's also been in a weight room. He's
right.
up about 300, but he's mobile as hell. And he was asking me, well, you know, I want to get out there. He said, I don't expect to ever go to one of these big companies, but I would like to elevate myself, you know, as best I can before it's I'm too
right.
old or too late. So I'm going to have him send you a resume.
Yeah, man.
And this kid.
Well, if he's listening now, my cell phone is 609-471-7904. I don't hide my cell phone from anybody. It's on my car. I don't care.
I know. Have you seen the card, Vic?
I have.
Have you seen? It's about the size of Anthony. It's a Monster
exactly.
factory car, but it's just.
The best is, like, people don't realize how big it is, but, like, the Blue Meanie's been in it. Punisher Martinez has been in it. Like, it's pretty roomy. It's pretty unbelievable. I'm actually just to see you guys now, and I'm not kidding you. I'm in it right now. I swear to God.
Oh.
I swear to God. Like, listen, that's me turning it back on. That's because I have my daughters are up.
and there's no way they're going to let Daddy sit in the office and be on the phone because it's sunny out and we have a little pool, and they're going to want to be out there like right now. So I have to sneak out the front door and go in my car. You know, it's not only my students that sometimes don't listen to me, it's my own kids. It's awesome.
But for those who don't know what we're talking about, the Monster Factory car is Monster Factory green with the logo on both sides and friggin' back and top, probably. I'm not sure about the top,
yep.
And I know it's
absolutely.
All over the place. But it is the size. When he first came to pick me up in it last year, I thought I should put this on like I would a shirt or something. But actually, he's right. There is some size. What I forget. What is it in brand?
It's a Chevy Spark, and it gets 44 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
And it has built-in Wi-Fi with its own server and everything on top, like the antenna. So, like, you just jump on, like, the name of it is Monster Factory, and the password to get on is the phone number. So, like, anybody can jump on my Wi-Fi when I'm driving around. And it's great. It's great. I love it. It's, like, my favorite car ever.
If you hadn't noticed, Vic, Dan lives the business, and that's what it takes to make it in this business. It has to be part of you. It's not casual. It's not something you do by accident or when you got nothing better to do. And it's the way he teaches, and it's the way he lives, and it's why I like him.
Love you, Les. That was awesome. Thank you, man. Thank you.
I love you too, brother.
Hey, before we wrap this thing up, I want to ask you one more thing, Danny, about not just the camp, because I want to give you a chance to talk about the camp again before we get out of here, but you guys do shows regularly as well. Is there going to be a show that weekend?
Absolutely. It's going to be a huge show because we got all those wrestlers there. So I'm like, all right, let's turn it up a notch. We have two wrestling rings. Let's put both rings together. And we have one spot left. We're doing what's called the Monster Ticket. Just think like the Money in the Bank, but even better, because basically this ticket gives you a title shot for any title that we have. If you want a tag team title shot, you grab a partner, you get a title shot there. Supersonic title, heavyweight title, except the girls' title. Unless a girl comes in and wins the ticket, you never know. But the match itself for the Monster Ticket isn't a ladder match. It's a seven-man elimination match. And basically, the only way you win is the only way you get eliminated is thrown over the top rope, pinfall or submission, and it's an elimination match. Well, we have six spots already filled, so we need one more spot. So what we're going to do is two ring, 60 plus man, Royal Rumble style battle royal, and we'll see who wins that. And both rings next to each other, so that's going to be it's going to be pretty awesome. The place will be packed. We did that one time before Turkey Slam last year in November. Really great turnout, but then was only 30 people, so this is double that. So it should be pretty epic. I'm really looking forward to it because I think like there's so many different possibilities of people that can come in, and I'm excited for it, man. I really am. And the camp is going to be great, and Les is going to be doing commentary for the show itself. So I think that's going to be a plus for the MF Network, and I'm just super excited for the camp and the show. And we run shows anywhere from 2 to 3 times a month, and you know, people always call them quote unquote student shows, which I think is bullcrap. It really angers me when people use that term student shows, because like our guys can go with anybody. It's amazing how, like, you know, for example, Matt Riddle was having half hour matches with us. And nobody was really saying much. Then he goes to Evolve and has a 5-minute match. And like, man, he's really stepped up his game with Evolve, because before he was just doing student shows. And I'm like, damn it, he was having half-hour matches with people from Ring of Honor with us. Like, he had his game stepped up way before he went there. Like, that's just the type of kid he is. He's another workhorse who busts his ass. So, you know, we have shows, and we're actually changing things up. I wanted to mention this. Before, we were just releasing our 2-hour shows on the network and matches here and there. We're actually going to up our game and have episodes and release them every week. And we're toying with the idea of calling it Monday Night Monsters and releasing a new half-hour to 45-minute
episode every Monday, but we're working on the production for that and getting that all fine-tuned, but I'm really looking forward to that, too.
So put everybody up one more time on this Monster Factory Super Camp, which is going down next weekend, where people need to go, how they can contact you, who's going to be there, the whole nine yards.
All right, so it is next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can still sign up. I'm leaving sign-ups open until midweek. But if you find a way to get to the world-famous Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey, it's $150. It's a three-day camp. All the details are on our website, but we have Rudy Boy Gonzalez going to be there. Matt Wichlinski is going to be there. Les Thatcher is going to be there. Bob Evans will be there. Joel Gertner is going to be there. Bull James will be there. QT Marshall will be there. Punisher Martinez will be there for a couple of days. The Blue Meaning will be there. Bill Wiles will be there. I'll be there. It's going to be sick. It's not just in-ring drills and stuff like that. We'll be studying match tape. We'll be going over promos. We'll be going over etiquette, what you should look for, what you should be like, nutrition, strength and conditioning. I mean, this is, you know, too many people think professional wrestling is just what happens in the ring. That's a very small portion of it. So this is going to be one of those camps where people come away from and they're like, so this is what we're supposed to be doing. Awesome. You know, this is going to be one of those camps where I think it's really going to catch wind, and we're going to record it, and we're going to put it up on a network for people to watch. Plus, we'll be live streaming a lot of it on our Facebook page. I'm just super excited. And then we have another one coming up October 28th and 29th, which people already started signing up for. That one's $100. And so far, signed on to that is all our coaches. And Rip Rogers, and I'm in talks with a couple other coaches to come in. So I can't wait. It's one of those things where, like, it's almost like Christmas. Like, you're getting that nervous, excited feeling. And I think it's just going to be awesome to open up the doors and see 80 athletes in there, you know, eager and ready to learn. And, you know, some might drop off, but the ones that stick it through, they're going to be better for it. And I think even the coaches and trainers will be better for it, because they're going to learn a few things. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't learn something about pro wrestling, and that's why I love it so much.
Danny, real quick, your social media plugs, and for you personally and the Monster Factory as well, so folks know where to see you on Facebook and Twitter and such.
All right, well, all the Monster Factory social media I handle, so no matter what you're talking to me, we have the MFPW at Twitter. And then it's at the number 4 Monster Factory. And then there's me, the Danny Cage, at the Danny Cage. On Instagram, Real Danny Cage. On Snapchat, Real Danny Cage. Instagram for the Monster Factory is at 4 Monster Factory. You can search us for YouTube, Monster Factory Pro TV. Our website is monsterfactory.org. And the mfnetwork.com. You can stream us anywhere, watch us anywhere. Tons of stuff, unedited, awesome stuff. And my cell phone, 609-471-7904. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, just don't send me dirty pictures and stuff like that. Okay? Thank you.
Les, I know where you're going to be next weekend. You're going to be at the Monster Factory.
Looking forward to it. I'm always looking forward to making that trip. Yeah, and the fact that we're going to have so many kids from so many different origins and everything, that's going to be the great time of it, too. But, yeah, if you're interested in booking me for anything, Les at EPWT.com or Les Thatcher at Zoomtown.com, and I'll get you back out the information.
Before we wrap this thing up, I want to make sure that everybody knows that today was, in fact, a free show. Subscribers and those who are not subscribed at WrestlingObserver.com were able to check this out today. We hope that you will spread the word about F4W Online or WrestlingObserver.com. Either one will get you to the website. And because, well, listen, we love you. We got all these great shows, 12 to 15 audio shows each and every week, no less than 3, featuring the man behind the Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer himself. You can also, of course, get this show, Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, and a bunch more about pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, all at a fantastic price. And by the way, more audio in the archives than currently the WWE Network has available for you in their archives. So we're doing it big over here at WrestlingObserver.com. And hopefully you'll listen to this show today with Les Thatcher and Danny Cage. Share it on your social media pages. Let your friends know all about it. If they're folks who have been considering a subscription but haven't jumped in yet, direct them over here. Give them a chance to listen to the show and see if maybe you can help and we can help change their minds. Guys, I cannot thank you enough.
Wait a minute. before you go, are we going to have some of them great wings like we had last year, Daniel?
Oh, hell yeah. Whistler's in, baby. Whistler's in.
All right. Then I'm ready to go right now. Let's do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Love you, brother. Take care.
That was the Danny Cage from the one and only Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey. A short ride, by the way, from the International Airport in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, if you're still on the fence about making it over to the Super Camp this weekend. And you want to stay glued to his social media pages that he gave out there as well, because, as he mentioned at the top of the show, there is going to be another Super Camp in just a couple of months. So if you missed out on this one, or going to miss out on this one, there's no excuse. You'll get another chance before the year is out to attend one of these camps. Les, I know, as you mentioned, it's one of your favorite places to be.
Yeah, and you're putting in a cameo appearance too as well, right?
I am. I'll be dropping by at some point. Just don't drop me on my head.
No, we couldn't do that. I saw your picture. You're doing a thing in the park too. You and Keith Urban both this week, huh?
Well, you know, Keith Urban kind of big-time me. He didn't want me to host his event. What am I going to do? But, you know, the last couple of weeks I've been out and about doing some stuff for TV and some few other things in New York. So life is good. I can't complain.
Cool. Excellent. Look forward to seeing you next week, my pal.
All right, my friend. With, again, thanks to our friend, the Danny Cage over at the Monster Factory. That was Danny. He's Les, the legend, Les Thatcher. My name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to spend it with us. And we'll talk to you again next week.